I'm gonna do a quick message. I'll try to look behind me every once in a while. Sorry. All right, our new message, and it's of course gonna be a hashtag message, and this message is called hashtag blind. All right, I'm not calling you guys blind or anything, but that's what it's gonna be. So the question is for us: how many of you guys are planners? Meaning that you really enjoy having a plan, knowing what your next step is gonna be. I'm a planner. I definitely am a planner. So then the second question for you guys, how many of you guys are fly by the seat of your pants type kind of people? Meaning that you like to wing it, or you're like, hey, whatever, let's see what happens next. It doesn't matter. Yeah, see, my wife is. See, yeah, okay, yeah, see, I'm trying to be that way too. I'm trying to be like, partially like, I need a plan, but I'm also planning, like, if my plan fails, I'm okay with that. You know, that's what I'm trying to be. And Elise is working me with that. So I have an illustration for you guys. So this is probably, I'm going to talk a lot to you guys, to the youth here. So how many of you guys have mapped out your future? Thought about your future? A little bit. How many of you guys have thought of your future? I've thought about my future. How many of you guys have done something like this? My goal is to finish high school. No one's goal out here is to finish high school. Sweet. All right. How many of you guys after high school are like, I am going to maybe work for a year? Or I need to find a job. I need money. Or how many of you guys are like, okay, well, after high school, I'm going to go to college or university? All right. Then how many of you guys, after college or university, you guys plan, like, or maybe during college or university, you guys are like, that's where I'm going to meet my lovely lady or handsome husband, if you are the opposite gender.
Well, Terry and Braden already found each other, so they're
off. Off limits, sorry. But sometimes that's how the plan goes. It's like, I'm going to wait until college or university to find the person I'm going to be with. Then how many of you guys go, once I meet that person, it's going to be exactly 2 years, 41 days, and 11 hours after we start dating that I'm going to be engaged? Probably you. It's probably Kirk. Kirk probably does that. And then, okay, see, Leanne plans it. Okay, then how many of you guys, after you get engaged, you're like, okay, 8 months, 11 days, 5 hours, and 6 minutes from the point I get engaged, we're getting married. Any of you guys like that? Okay, Lisa, right there. Boom. One person. I'm just saying, you're mapping out your life. And then after you get married, you're like, I'm going to get my dream job.
Surgeon.
And then after you accomplish getting your dream job, you're like, okay, now I'm ready to settle down. I'm going to have exactly 3 kids. Maybe you want 4. Maybe you want 6. Maybe you want 8. Maybe you want 1. I don't know what you guys want. I'm just saying. Maybe that's what you want. And then you go, okay, and then once I have the kids, I'm going to raise them to the best of my ability, and then I'm going to send them to college, and they're going to make their way in life. And you're like, sweet, deal. And then you're like, once the kids are out of the house, I'm retiring on the beach. Yes right? Yeah, see, now we're talking. Everyone's like, yep, that's my retirement plan. Planned to the T. We like to have an idea of what our life might look like or what we can strive to do. But what if, amongst all your planning, amongst all your ideas of how your life is going to turn out, how it's going to be, that all of a sudden you meet Jesus? Maybe you've already met Jesus, but you're still planning your life out. And then you go, maybe Jesus has something else for me besides my plan. So we'll continue that illustration afterwards. But I'm going to let you guys turn to the book of Mark, Chapter 8, verses 22 to 26, if you have your Bibles with you. Mark, chapter 8, 22 to 26. I don't know the page, sorry. I have it printed out in front of me. Look, Mark is after Matthew and before Luke in the New Testament. Chapter 8 is after 7 and before 9. Verse 22 is after 21 and before 23. So Mark chapter 8. I'm working on it. That's what I'm doing. You're welcome. Mark chapter 8, 22 to 26. And this is what it says. And they came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to Jesus and implored him to touch him. Taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him out of the village, and after spitting on his eyes and laying his hands on him, he asked, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, I see men, for I see them like trees walking around. Then again he laid, being he, Jesus, his hands on his eyes, and he looked intently and was restored, and began to see everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, do not even enter the village. The unexpected can happen when you follow Jesus, but the unexpected is where you see Jesus the most. And it helps grow you to be the person that he sees you being. But I mean, who likes the unexpected? Yeah, I'm not going to raise my hand on that. The unexpected is the unexpected. Come on. Really, like, something gets thrown at you that you don't think is going to happen. I mean, it floors us. It puts us in a spot of, what do I do next? And it kind of ruins the point when someone has their life planned out. If Jesus is the unexpected, then do your plans always work out the way you think they are? So reading about the disciples beforehand and afterwards, they're the ones who followed closest to Jesus and were able to see firsthand that no matter the planning they did, Jesus always seemed to throw a twist into things. For example, the feeding of the 4,000 beforehand. Jesus goes, hey, look at all these people around you. We should feed them. The disciples go, have you seen our stash of food? That maybe feeds us, but not even like our bellies are full. And Jesus is like, yeah, so? What's your point? Disciples are like, the point is we don't have enough food. And Jesus is like, don't worry about it. I got this. And he ends up feeding 4,000. That's only the men. So you're looking closer to 10,000 or so. And so Jesus throwing twists into our plans, it's not always a bad thing. Often I find it's the greatest of things when he throws a twist into it. And so the first point I'm going to make is that you know you're following Jesus when you only see the next step in front of you. The disciples at this point in the story in Mark 8 has seen multiple miracles done. Jesus commanded something or he prayed over something and boom, the deal is done. So they knew that Jesus was capable of healing a blind man. The entire time the disciples are following Jesus is that Jesus is trying to get two points across to them. The first point that Jesus is trying to get across to them is that there is an outward vision and an inward perception. So put it this way for the disciples. They came to know Jesus was the promised Messiah, but their understanding of what the Messiah really came to do was still blurred. They knew that Jesus came and he's going to save the people. They didn't understand that he had to die for people for their sin so they could be cleansed and forgiven and now walk in step with Jesus. They didn't understand that. So this healing that Jesus does on the blind man at Bethsaida is in two parts to teach the disciples something important. Jesus was very good at using stories, parables, illustrations, and physical healings to get his points across. So when Jesus spits on this man's eyes, he asks if the man can see, and the response is yes, but the people are like trees, meaning it is only by the movements or actions that this man distinguishes them from inanimate objects. Jesus wasn't asking if the miracle worked. Jesus had something in store. So blindness, the way we feel sometimes when it comes to following Jesus. I wonder if the blind man thought that this was all that the healing he was going to receive. If he was then to settle for a life seeing only blurred objects. At least maybe he'd be able to walk around town. That'd be a bonus. So when we accept Jesus, we accept the promise that he has a plan for us and that we want to follow that plan. But sometimes we are unsure of what that looks like. I know who Jesus is to us, and we know that he is our Savior, but as we take our first step forward, all we see sometimes is the blurred object ahead of us. All we see sometimes is uncertainty. So we wonder if Jesus is actually doing something, or if he actually does have a plan for us. We wonder if this is all that is going to be happening in our lives. Our outward vision is only half of the story when it comes to following Jesus. That's why if we only see the outward vision, it feels incomplete. So that brings us to our second point, which is the inner perception. Relationship is the key of this. Relationship is what builds the inner perception. He already has come to the conclusion that we know Jesus is capable of doing something. The blind man knew that Jesus was capable of doing something great. But when it comes to us, sometimes our inner perception doesn't fully grasp that Jesus is in control. And so we go, yeah, okay, I understand you have a plan, but I'm still going to try to turn you towards the path that I want for you. And so we haven't put our full trust into Jesus that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. That's just as well the blind man had heard about Jesus and called out to him for a reason. If the blind man did not have the faith to believe that Jesus could do something, he would not even be at the point, I don't believe, of seeing blurred objects. So when Jesus did half the healing to show something powerful, the blind man was still believing and still had the faith that the completion of this miracle was going to happen. I think this is where the relationship comes in, where our inner perspective is made clear. The more that we seek after Jesus, the more that we talk to him, the more that we listen, the less blurry our surroundings become. We become more aware of Jesus and what he has in store for this world. Recently, talking to my professor at college, he posted a message on Facebook about relationship, and he put it this way: you cannot have a relationship with someone you never met in any way. Think about it. The person who you spend absolutely no time with in any type of relationship really does not exist in your life. They could be as real as you and me, but nothing that happens to them means anything to you. So those buying coffee, dating someone, having a baby, etc., leaves you not caring because you do not have a relationship with them. I'm sure you'd be like, hey, yay, baby, congratulations, but how much do you care for them afterwards? A relationship is what brings people into our reality. In doing so, we engage in their existence in a way we did not think of before. So it is with Jesus. We should be asking and seeking that God opens our reality to him and his plan through the relationship we have with him. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So when we pray and ask for a clear relationship with him, he reveals to us, and he reveals to our inner perception. When you mix the outward vision and the inner perception, we begin to realize what God is really doing in our lives and what is really happening in the next step that we take. So you know you are following Jesus when you can only see the next step in front of you, but you're okay with that. You don't have to see a mile down the road. And of course, Jesus finishes off. Jesus placed his hand over the blind man's eyes for a second time, and when he removed his hand, he could see. So I'm going to finish off with an illustration. John, if you would be so kind to turn off the lights. All of them, if you mind. Can you even do the wall lights too? That'd be cool. So we walk, and sometimes, hashtag blind, we don't know what Jesus has in store. And you guys being up here, I don't want to hit you or anything. Feel free. Sometimes we go, God, I don't see your next step. I don't see you in front of my next step. And so instead of going the way Jesus has planned, we end up going this way. And we, ugh, God, what are you doing? And I bet he's standing there going, really? Okay, I see how it is. He's like, no, okay, go back to where you were. Go back. This is a hard lesson. And then he says, all right, go this way. And you take your next step. And you're like, okay, obviously I haven't fallen yet. I'm okay. This is going all right. He's taking me the way he's supposed to go. And so you keep going. And you're like, God, I expected at this point to be married. I expect at this point to be dating someone that is going to be my partner through my ministry or through my life journey with you. But it hasn't happened yet, God. What is wrong with you? And he's like, follow me. Take the next step. And as you take the next step, hey! And you're like, I didn't expect this. I mean, dating, of course. You're like, okay, I cannot see myself with anyone else. But God says, I placed you with someone who's going to journey beside you, who's going to be able to hold you up in places you didn't think you needed held up. She's going to keep you accountable, do all the stuff that you're like, back there, you didn't even know where your weakness is. Back then, you didn't know your strengths. And you meet up, and her weaknesses are strengthened by your strengths. My weaknesses are strengthened by her strengths. I think I said that right.
I think so.
Hopefully you guys got that. And then as we go, I'm going to turn this around. We journey this way. And if you want to turn these ones, you walk. And all of a sudden, bam, you didn't realize you'd end up in Wainwright. You didn't realize that you'd be a youth pastor of all these guys. And you guys, this is the first time. We are taking a selfie.
Yes!
This is the sermon selfie. All right, everyone, get in on this. Elisa, you got to get in on this, too.
Oh, I'm crushed.
Yeah. I don't think it'll... I'm going to turn this way. All right. There we go. Oh, okay. And you didn't expect to meet crazy people like this. You didn't expect to be blessed beyond belief. You thought you'd end up maybe in a city at a church, a big church that maybe you get lost in. You don't get to make as many connections. But you end up in Wainwright. And then you meet... And as you walk, you sit there for a second. As you walk, you end up meeting all these people. And you didn't realize how much these people are going to bless you and how much these people are going to speak into your life. I'm not discontinuing any of you guys. This is just part of my illustration to walk this way. And you go, wow, I'm blown away by how many people, you know, care about me. You want to stay or do you want to come? You can come. You're blown away, and you didn't know, like, man, I didn't know that my senior and associate pastor would be able to speak into my lives. And actually, you hear horror stories about your first time in ministry, but this one wasn't horror. It was, like, beyond, like, how did I show up here underneath these people who care so much about me? And then all of a sudden, you're like, hey, where, God, where are you going to take me next? I believe that you're going to, if I keep following, the step behind you is going to reveal to me, and you don't know who you're going to meet next, and how much God is going to be like, you're going to speak into their lives, or God has a plan for them to speak into your life. Maybe they make you dinner one day. Just saying. Oh, okay. Thanks, Elisa. And, yes, you can sit down. Sorry. And so it begins to be okay. It begins to go, okay, God, you have a clear path for me. I don't know what the five steps down the road is to me, but I know that every step I take, you are right there. And it becomes exactly what you need. It becomes exactly where you need to know that Jesus is, that he's right in front of you. And as you stumble and fall, because you will stumble and fall, that he turns around and he's ready to pick you up again. He's ready to go, it's okay. It doesn't matter your storms in life. It doesn't matter the pain that you're going through, because Jesus is there and he's going to be exactly what you need at that time, because you've built that relationship with him and you begin to trust and go, my outward vision is showing my inner perception to who Jesus is. And Jesus is exactly where he needs to be, because he is the king of our life. He is the Lord of our life. He is the conqueror of our sins. He is the protector of our weaknesses. He is the all-sufficient Savior that we need him to be. And he is the path maker for our future. He is the fallen human picker-upper. That means if you fall, it's okay. So simply put, he is there. So regardless of what you think is blind to you, regardless of what your uncertainty of going forward is, that Jesus is going, I'm already there. Take a step forward. That's for you guys. And so we're going to finish this off before we go down for potluck. Youth, you can sit down, minus the grads. Grads.
Yeah, I guess we want to step.
So I think that's like three, four. You had to go down. If you guys would like to stand in front of the table, you just do it, man. Just do it. Why do I have to? These are five graduates, And I'm very thankful that they came today and didn't sleep in. Thank you. That's what I'm saying. I am very lucky. Thank you. This is an opportunity to give you guys a Bible, an opportunity for you guys to take a manual, an opportunity to read and to, I guess, realize where Jesus wants you to go. This kind of means an end of your chapter as a youth here, but it's not the end of a chapter for your entire life. It's not the end of your book. And I would love very much to do a send-off prayer with you guys. And a send-off prayer does not mean you can't come back. It doesn't mean that you guys are officially cut off from us. It means that we're going to stand behind you, surround you with any kind of support that we can give you to send you out into the world that we've been trying to prepare you for. Not only us, parents, grandparents, teachers, pastors, youth pastors, everyone. And we're really excited to see where you guys go. And by all means, when you guys are back in town, if you ever leave, if you don't leave, that's all right. If you're ever back in town, visit us. We'd love to hear what's going on. And so, do you want anything to add?
Yeah, I have a lot to add.
A lot to add.
I'm a pastor. Give me a mic. just so you understand what Andrew is saying is, one door is closing and many, many, many more are opening. And he's talking about direction in your life. In the Bibles that we chose to give you is called the Apologetic Study Bible. Now, that's a big word, but what it means is a defense for your faith. And as you enter into adult life, people will question you, why do you believe this? And this Bible is just chock full. Apologetics is defense of your faith, chock full of common defenses, if you will, to the common attacks that we receive. Andrew and I have been drooling over them, and Pastor Dan, we will get our own, trust me.
We really wanted to steal them.
but the idea is that as you stop being a youth, you start being an adult. And as you start being an adult, you start really thinking for yourselves, and we're not telling you how to think anymore. We're not telling you what to do anymore. You're adults now. Whether you go to school, stay here, and I hope we see you every Sunday if you're in town, by the way. That doesn't mean you go away. And we want to bless you with these Bibles, and so we're going to hand these Bibles to you, and then we're going to come, and we're going to pray over you. We're going to sign those afterwards so you can tell me how you want your name written in the Bible. So don't run out of the building with those. We want to sign them for you.
Yeah, there's potluck, so don't run. Come
and
on.
Can I get the board members to come, please? The board members?
Right. You guys got to come a little bit away from the table so we can surround you. I would love for anyone else who has been involved in their lives or who just want to come
and pray over these guys.
This could be anyone that wants to come up. You're involved. Yes, you are.
Yes. All right.
Any way you can, just get as close as you can. Do you want to pray? Both of us, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Do you want to start?
I'll finish.
Heavenly Father, these young people are so very important. And God, that I know that you've had your hand on their lives. And we have heard testimony of how they have encountered you at YC and through youth events and through prayer. And Lord, some of these young people, Lord, I have watched from way back. And God, I just saw you blooming in their lives. Lord, we just defy the demographics that would say they would fall away, but we claim them for you in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you will pour your wisdom into them, that you will guide every step in those dark times, Lord. Send your ministers to them, that they will be lifted up and held steadfast in you. And God, I pray that you will do great things through them. And Father, often we hear the saying that they are the future of the church, but they are the church. And Lord, use them mightily to reach others for you, and that your name, your glory would go forth in this world, and that all would hear the gospel. And we thank you for each one of them.
God, as we talked about in Mark already today, that you are one step ahead of them already. And Lord, may they step into you as they go forward, Lord. With as scary and unexpected things can happen, Lord, they know that you are the rock in which they can stand because you never move, you never falter. And so, Lord, you want to keep them as much as you want around here, Lord, but we release them into this world, Lord. We know that, as Jude was saying, you've prepared their hearts already. And as they go out, Lord, they're going to make a huge impact and a huge difference on a world that needs them to make an impact and a difference. And so, Lord, we send them. We send them in Jesus' name that you guide them, protect them. May they hear for your voice daily, Lord. And may they use this Bible as often as possible, daily, hourly, Lord, as they seek after you and learn more about you, Lord. Bless them as they go out, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.